Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is titled, Are You Living Your Passion? And it's a perfect time to talk about this because in another year we will be moving into the new year. And when you live your passion, then you can be successful at anything that you really choose to do. And is the life you're living worth what you're giving up to have it? I don't know where I first found this question or who the author is, but it's a powerful one to reflect upon over the holiday. There are a lot of people that will improve their lives when you improve yours. It's not selfish to take care of yourself or to focus on self-improvement. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give the world. If you want to be fulfilled, happy, content, and experience inner peace and ultimate fulfillment, it's critical that you discover your purpose. Without a purpose as the compass to guide you, your goals and action plans may not ultimately fulfill you. I believe that each of us is born with an important life purpose. Identifying, acknowledging, and honoring their purpose is perhaps the most important action success people can take. Take the time to understand what they're here to do, and then they pursue that with passion and enthusiasm. For some of us, our purpose is obvious and clear. We're born with a set of talents, and through persistent practice, we develop our talents into skills. It was clear from the moment they got on this planet what they were interested in. My son wanted to draw all the time, and he now is in the art world. Another son always tapping out rhythms on paint cans and dishes, and he's now in the music world, along with one of his brothers. My daughter is in the literary world, and my stepson is definitely in the business world. They had natural talents that were clear indicators of what they ended up ultimately becoming passionate about. For some people, though, it's not easy to identify a passion. Ultimately, you may enjoy what you do, but on deeper exploration, discover that you're passionate about something altogether different than what you do. There are two processes that I found to be extremely helpful in discovering and living your passion. The life purpose exercise. The success principles describes a simple process that can help you identify your passion in as little as 10 minutes. The process involves answering three questions. What are two qualities I must love expressing in life? For me, it would be love and joy. What are the two ways I must love expressing those qualities? For me, it's inspiring people with stories like the Chicken Soup book and empowering people through my live training, home study courses, books, DVDs, and teleseminars. What would the world be like if we were perfect right now, according to me? For me, it would be that everyone was living their highest vision in the context of love and joy. Once you have answers to all three questions, you can combine them into a single statement. My life purpose is to inspire and empower people to live their highest vision in the context of love and joy and for the highest good of all concerned. To identify ways that you can live your passion, ask yourself this additional question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how actively am I living this passion and how actively am I living this purpose? If the answer is anything less than 10, ask yourself, what would I have to do to make it a 10? The answers that you come up with are the action steps you need to take so that you can begin living your passion on a day-to-day level. The passion test, developed by Chris and Janet Atwood, the passion test is a simple yet elegant process. You start by filling in the blank 15 times for the following statement. When my life is ideal, I am blank. The words you choose to fill in the blank must be a verb. When Janet took me through the process, my statements look like this. My life is ideal when I'm being of service to massive numbers of people. My life is ideal when I'm helping people with their vision. My life is ideal when I'm speaking to large groups. My life is ideal when I'm being part of a spiritual leaders network. My life is ideal when I'm creating a core group of ongoing trainers who feel identified with my organization. Once you've created 15 statements, you identify the top five choices. To do this, you compare statements number one and two to identify which is most important. Take the winner of that comparison and decide whether it's more or less important than statement number three. Then take the winner of that comparison and decide whether it's more or less important than statement number four, and so on until you identify the passion that is most meaningful to you. Repeat the process with the remaining 14 statements to identify your second choice. Then repeat the process until you've pinpointed your top five passions. Next, create markers for each of your top five passions so that you can look at your life and easily tell whether you are living that passion. For me, a marker would be when I'm helping people live their vision, I'm giving at least 20 workshops a year for at least 10,000 people total. And at each event, people are coming up afterwards and saying, "You really empowered me to live my vision." Once you know what your passions are and how your life will look when you're living them, you can create action plans to turn your dreams into reality. To learn more about the process, I highly recommend the Atwood book, The Passion Test. Once you identify your passion, you need to overhaul your life completely and all at once. Instead of follow success principles number 24, lean into it, start living your passion, and stay in tune to the feedback you're receiving and how you're feeling. Adjust how you're living your passion until you feel that you're living in bliss. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this particular topic at this time is to remind you, for one reason, in the workplace today, you need to look at living your passion. And why is that important? Because in today's marketplace, if you are not happy in your job, then you're not giving everything that you could possibly give. And remember, every one of us have a passion for something. And think about it. Watch your children. Watch the things that they really enjoy doing. And when you see what they really enjoy doing, then help them understand that that is something that they can do on a long-term basis and earn an income doing it, and at the same time, be in a job that they really enjoy being. Because the biggest thing that people have, the biggest problem is that people get into a job just to earn an income. And when you get in that job just to earn an income, guess what happens? You turn around and what happens is you then put yourself into a position where you are looking for something that just isn't there. Remember, the biggest thing that's going on in today's marketplace is the change of the job. The companies, the schools, the education field, they're still telling you, go out and get that job where you are trading dollars for hours. And the problem is those jobs haven't existed for a long time. And what is really going on is that we've moved, the job market has literally totally changed. One of the things you need to look at is what is it that you truly have a passion for? And I've asked people that question many a time, and you know what? I can tell every one of them knows what they have a passion for, what they would really love to do, whether it's helping someone to live a better life, whether it's creating something to make someone else's life easier, or to help someone who's the downtrodden, someone who doesn't have the same education or opportunities they do. So if you take all of these things together and look at it and look at each individual's personality, then guess what? You can always find something that you're passionate about. And when you look at any family dynamics, guess what makes that family work? Because each one of them comes from a different perspective. And you know, what also happens is when any one of those individuals determine that or changes for a better life, because if you got someone that is totally, totally negative, then guess what happens? They're going to draw you down. And if you don't want someone who's negative to draw you down, then you need to get away from them. And here's some things that I want you to hear and I want you to think about. Negative people need love. You know how difficult it can be to give love and positive attention to negative people? Unfortunately, that is often exactly what they need. Deep inside, that mean and critical person is a person that is usually afraid he or she is unlovable. It is our challenge to rise above the negative attitude and love the injured person inside. How do you show love when someone is negative? You must listen to what she is trying to tell you. Acknowledge the feelings she has by saying something like, "You sound very angry right now." Even if you don't quite understand the person's feelings, know that your reality is different from someone else's. Ask how you might help the negative person. This shows legitimate interest in her happiness. Offer a hug even if you get rejected. Remember not to take a rejection of your love personally. A negative person always has difficulty receiving love from others. Keep your own negative thoughts and behaviors in check. If you do nothing else but focus on managing your own negative thoughts and behavior, you will come a long way towards remaining positive. A negative attitude is contagious, but a positive attitude is infectious as well. Hang out with positive people that encourage you to be your best self. Use positive affirmations to overcome negative self-talk. Express your gratitude for all the positive things in your life. Take the time every day to watch all the beautiful things going on around you. Read inspirational material and listen to joyful music. Take care of yourself spiritually. Do whatever you have to do to remain positive and happy despite the negativity you face. The world will be a better place because you and your attitude, and you never know, you just might help a negative person make a change to a better way of living. And it is important to understand this, that because the negativity is what pulls you down and which keeps you from achieving those goals that you truly want in life. So think about this. Think about the things that you can do that can help turn you around, to help you think more positively. And when you look at the laws of attraction, guess what? If you're a negative person, then you're going to draw things to yourself that are very negative. All the failures that you think you're going to have, that's going to occur. But if you change the way you're thinking and you begin to think more positively and begin to have a better outlook on life, then guess what? When you're putting out positive feelings into the universe and the universe is hearing them, then you are going to have all of those positive things return to you, and you're going to get the things that you truly want in life. So what is it that is your choice, and what is it, and how can you live the life that you truly want to live? And think about it. In today's marketplace, there are jobs out there, and there are companies getting started. The problem is that to keep down their overhead, instead of opening doors in strip malls or in office buildings where they have to have larger space just to accommodate staff, and they have to disseminate salespeople and guarantee them a certain income, what they're doing is they are opening their doors and they're looking for affiliates or distributors to work with them and doing word-of-mouth advertising. So where can you think about the things that you truly need to do to help you change how you see yourself in the world, in the workplace, in the marketplace, in relationships? Because if we are truly happy in ourselves, then we can have good, healthy relationships. And not only in our personal relationships, but business relationships, because today you have to develop good business relationships. When you build those good relationships in business, then what it does is it brings to you the opportunity to expand, to build friendships, to build connections, because whatever you're into, you don't know who can use that type of information. And I'm going to talk a little bit about communication, because there's different natural behavioral styles that different people have that help them interact with people. And when you understand this, when you can relate to different people in different behavioral styles, then guess what? You are able to build strong relationships, and you're able to adapt your communication with that individual, because you'll know what are their hot spots, what are the things and the keywords that you say to them that can really tie them down and get them interested in what it is that you're interested in. And what is their bottom line? Because everyone has a different bottom line, something that they want out of life. So let's look at it this way. When you look at someone that's a high D, a dominant behavior pattern, guess what? They have to control every aspect of their life in every way possible. And when you think of these things, when you look at how people look and control their environment, then you understand how different things interact in different ways. So think about all of those things. Think about how you can live a life that is interesting and can really give you what it is that you want in life, all the things that you truly need in life. And think about how all of these things affect how you live the quality of life that you have in the marketplace in today's environment. And think about how you can really live the life that you truly want to live, and how you can be that person that everyone truly wants to be around. Because when you do that, guess what? You will have what it takes to really be who it is that you truly want to be. And here's some things that I want to talk about that help you understand how you control your life and your communication style. And what we're going to do is talk about dominant. And the dominant person puts emphasis on shaping the environment by overcoming opposition to accomplish results. And guess what? All of this pertains to how you relate to someone in every environment, and especially interpretation. Now, this person's tendencies include getting immediate results, causing action, accepting challenges, making quick decisions, questioning the status quo, taking authority, managing trouble, and solving problems. Also, this person desires an environment which includes power and authority, prestige and challenge, opportunity to individual accomplishments, wide scope of operations, direct answers, opportunity for advancement, freedom from control and supervision, and many new and varied activities. An action plan. This person needs others who weigh pros and cons, calculate risk, use caution, structure a more predictable environment, research facts, deliberate before deciding, recognize the needs of others. To be more effective, this person needs difficult assignments to understand their need, understand that they need other people, techniques based on practical experience, and occasional shock, identification of with a group to verbalize reasons for conclusions, and awareness of existing sanctions to pace self and relax more. Influence, and this is another behavior pattern. They put emphasis on how shaping the environment influences or persuading others. A description of this person's tendencies include contacting people, making a favorable impression, verbalizing with articulateness, creating a motivational environment, generating enthusiasm, entertaining people, viewing people and situations optimistically, participating in a group. The person desires an environment which includes popularity, social recognition, public recognition of ability, freedom of expression, group activities outside of the job, democratic relationships, freedom from control and detail, opportunity to verbalize proposals, coaching and a counseling, favorable working conditions. The action plan for this person needs others who concentrate on the task, speak facts, speak directly, speak sincerely, develop systematic approaches, prefer dealing with things to dealing with people, take a logical approach, demonstrate individual follow-through. To be more effective, this person needs control of their time, objectivity in decision-making, participatory management, more realistic appraisal of others' priorities and deadlines, to be more firm with others. Then you have the conscientiousness behavior pattern, and this person puts emphasis on working conscientiously within existing circumstances to ensure quality and accuracy. This person's tendencies include attention to key derivatives and standards, concentrating on key details, thinking analytically, weighing pros and cons, being diplomatic with people, using subtle and indirect approaches to conflict, checking for accuracy, analyzing performance critically, using systematic approach to situations or activities. To be more effective, this person needs the opportunity to planning exact job descriptions, performance objectives, scheduled performance appraisals, specific feedback on performance to respect people's personal work as their accomplices, to develop tolerance and conflict. Now, the last of the four pure behavioral patterns is steadiness. They put emphasis on cooperating with others to carry out the task, This person's tendencies include performing in a consistent, predictable manner, demonstrating patience, developing specialized skills, desiring to help others, showing loyalty, being a good listener, calming exciting people creating a stable, harmonious, and work environment. An action plan for this person is to react quickly to unexpected change. Stretch forward the challenges of accepted tasks. Become involved in more than one thing. Are self-promoting. Apply pressure on others. Work comfortably in an unpredictable environment. Help prioritize work. Are flexible to work procedures. And why this is important, because if we're doing something that literally fits into our natural behavioral stuff, then we can excel in an area that we truly love to do. Think about it. How many people go into research and they really love it? How many people are natural-born teachers because they like people, they like kids? The sad part is you have people in these professions sometimes who don't belong there. And they take it because maybe it's the easy way out. It's something that they can do. So that's why I want to talk about, are you living your passion? Because if you're living your passion, if you understand your natural behavioral style and what makes you tick, then guess what? You can learn, and you can really choose the things that you want to do that really help you be what it is that you truly want to be. And, you know, if you're doing something that you really enjoy doing, then you're going to excel on it. Even look at someone when they're in the classroom studying. If they're studying a subject that they're passionate for, guess what? It's not even something that they have to put an effort towards to get a good grade. But if it's something that does not fit their natural behavioral style, then guess what? It's going to be very tough for them to really think about and pass that subject. So we can always find the things that our children really love to do just by watching them and watching the things that they gravitate toward. Because, you know, everyone has what is a natural behavioral pattern. And there's the full cure, but there's so many different aspects to the purity of it, the levels of it, the highs, the lows that make us different and make us the people who we truly are. So let's go back and think about it. Think about the success principles and create markers for each of your top five passions so that you can look at your life and easily tell whether you are living that passion. Starting to live your passion and stay in tune to your feedback you're receiving, how you're feeling, adjust how you're living your passion until you feel that you're living in bliss. When you think of all these things, when you plan all these things, when you find a way to do something that you truly, truly love to do, and you understand who you are inside, then guess what? You can always find someone that truly gives you what it is that you want in life. You know, when you are doing a job that you truly love to do, whether it be doing research to help someone else out, to give a speech or to compile all that information, then guess what? Then you're working as a team, and being a team player means being a creator, an advancer, a refiner, and an enforcer. And then you've got the facilitator that works in all four quadrants, because we all have to work as a team. That's the essence of what network marketing is as a business today, is it teaches us how to work as a team to help each one of us be successful at what it is that we choose to do. And I'd like to remind you, you can go to my website, and that website is the number one, personalcareercoach.com, and we can sit down with you and put together a strategy to help you build a successful business plan.